God morning. I thought that guy had a play. Pretty awesome. Guys use that kind of skill and talent for God. Awesome. All right, we're just going to kick us off this morning on a different tune. I was going to have Fred bring this out, you know, and just bless the service. Let's just pray for a second.
Dear Lord, we come before you today. We are here to worship you. We are here to open our hearts and our souls to hear your word and to hear what you have to say to us. And it's not just saying it to a congregation or to a family here all gathered together. This is about our singular contact with you, Lord. So just open our minds so that we can just best connect with what you have. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If all please rise. Let's sing Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God.
Seated. What'd you say, Gary? There we go. Good morning. Great to see everybody here today. Welcome to Haven Community Church. We're excited that you're here, and we're thrilled. We're just glad. We want you to just, all the stuff out there, set aside all the stuff, all your feelings, things that aren't going right out there, some of your stuff about, you know, the world. I know many people in our area are struggling with a lot of this government shutdown and stuff, so we want to keep them in our prayers, particularly people near to us. I had some friends who have no job right now, and some who are working with no pay, which is kind of like not having a job. That's called volunteering. I know bill collectors do not care whether you are volunteering or not. So be praying for a lot of people, how it's affecting. So we're just glad, we just hope everybody sets all that stuff aside and focuses on the one who always gives and the one who always takes care of us, and his name is Jesus. So welcome. If you're visiting with us today, we are so thrilled you're here. We don't believe you're here by mistake. And by being here, if you go out this door and you receive the card, Jill, who's right there, who was right up here, will meet you right outside, and we have a small gift for you for just filling out the card. So we're excited that you'll be here. I'm just going to touch on a few announcements. We're not going to get bogged down in announcements much anymore. We want you to go ahead and check on that. But look for membership class. That is right after church today. If you'd like to become a member and know more about the church, I mean, like if you show up, we aren't going to lock you in and lock you back there till you sign away and say, yes, I'll join. I promise I'll join. But we just want to make sure that you understand church. You can look at Dining for Women, our youth groups. You can see those information. Haven's Helping Hands, our missions team, will meet next week. And you can see Haven's Helping Hands food drive. Street team members are still looking, and the Parish Foundation. Now, we have a brief video clip for the Parish Foundation. They're having their fundraiser, and they're looking for companies and people and every kind of thing. So we're going to show you some of that in a bit. What I'm going to do something a little bit differently. We're going to show you this brief video clip from the Parish Foundation, and then I'm going to have you greet one another. Could you, Melinda? Okay, so that gives you a little bit of information. I know Bonnie, you're in the back, right? Bonnie, Bobby, and some others. It's a great, great ministry that's been going on with the Parish Foundation. So by all means, connect. That is for the gala that helped raise funds for that. Also, if our dates are the 20th of this month, And November 3rd, and that'll be their Sundays, and that's when we take when our church serves there. So if you're interested in that, is there sign up out back? There's a sign up out back on that windowsill. There's also two other sign ups. One is for an adult Sunday school during Sunday school time, and not during church because I'm going to kind of lead it, but it'll be before. And then the other thing will be a men's group if you're interested in men's group. So please sign up for that. Okay. One other important announcement. You notice with the prayer time, we kind of, because we're getting larger and we're getting spread out. We believe that prayer is very, very important, and we always wanted to be good stewards of that prayer as well. Please fill out the prayer request. Debbie and I had some conversation this week about really putting a lot onto prayer and making sure that's a focus without making it the passing of the mic all the time. Too. We believe that's important, but as we grow and shift and change, there's some concerns that go around through that. So Debbie and I are currently working on that. Did you want to say anything, Debbie? You good? I'm doing well? All right, she's praying, so she's over there praying for us. But we want to expand prayer. Some of our vision that's just beginning, we love to have people praying for this church and its ministries every day throughout the week and continually throughout the week. Anybody know how many hours there are on a week? A lot. There we go. Good. So anybody know who's sitting here? A lot. So what do we want? We want to go ahead and have a lot of prayer going throughout the weeks, people praying through the services and every kinds of other things. And we'd love to begin to coordinate that. Also, prayer group, you can look at that on your sheet, meets, and we want to go ahead and say that is not a closed group. I would say if I ask most people in this room to stand up and pray, we would be like bolting out the door. Prayer, I think it's one of the greatest tools of the enemy, of Satan, to tell us that we shouldn't pray or we don't know how to pray. So look, in the next coming weeks or months, we are going to do a whole series on prayer and what it is, how we do it, why we do it, all the other kind of stuff. Sound good? Sound good? That's what I got, so if it doesn't, sorry, but that's what we're going to go with, okay? What I want you to do right now, briefly, just stand around you, greet the people there with a hug, high five, knuckle punch, whatever, do it. Get rid of this.
Hey, this next song we're going to sing.
All right, let's get back to our seats and let's continue to worship the Lord.
This next song we're going to sing is called I Can Only Imagine. One of the great things about being a Christian is we have something to look forward to, not just worms crawling through our body when we're dead. Mm-hmm. So this song is totally about, you know, somebody just picturing what it's going to be like when they get to heaven. And, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in our daily duties and our daily worries and stresses that we forget that we have that great thing to look forward to. So take this time as we're all singing the song together to just kind of remember that one great gift that we all have. I can only imagine what it'd be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah?
Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Thank you. still more awesome than I know. You're my coming king. You are everything. Still more awesome than I know. And all of you is more than enough for all of me. For every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love. More than all I want, more than all I need,
yeah.
You are more than enough for me. More than all I know, more than all I can say. You are more than enough, and all of you is more than enough for,
oh, sing it out,
all of me. For every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
All right, one more time. Everybody sing it. Just sing it out. Eyes closed. All of you is more than enough for
all of me. For every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
And all I have in you is more than enough.
And all I have in you is more than enough.
Lord God, we just thank you that no matter what goes on in life, that wherever we are lacking in life, you are more than enough for everything that we need. So right now, Lord, as we transition from our children to the Sunday school, and as we stay here and hear what you have for us, for the adults, God, just minister your Holy Spirit to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
A few years ago, I was privileged to go to Brooklyn Tabernacle Church for their Tuesday night prayer meeting. And when it came time for the prayer time, everyone stood up and everyone prayed out loud at once. I should tell you that there were probably six or seven times as many people there as there are here. It was quite an experience. We don't do that here, so don't worry. But what I'm saying, and just funny what Jack said this morning, I'm here to lead in prayer. I don't have a degree in theology. I don't have any ecclesiastical robes or anything like that. And I would encourage you, while you're sitting there, instead of listening to me, although you're welcome to, I'm just talking to God, that you also talk to God in your own way, quietly preferably. Amy Franklin has requested prayer for the recovery of her daughter, Alicia. And Amanda has requested prayer for the people in the area who are still dealing with the loss of Kenny Curry. And there were no other ones turned in. So let's go to the Lord this morning in prayer. Father, we are humbly reminded that you are more than enough for all that we are going through, all that we need. Everything about our lives, you are more than enough. And part of that is the privilege that we have of coming to you any time, day or night, to bring to you the burdens and the cares that we are carrying. And more importantly, we hope that we would understand that we can bring them to you and lay them there and know that you are going to deal with them in your time and your way. We know, Father, that as many people as are here this morning, there are that many different issues that people are dealing with, problems in their lives, the kind of week they've had. But we all come together with one purpose this morning, and that's to worship you. And part of that worship is not just the singing and the message that we'll hear, but it's also sharing our burdens and our trials that we're going through. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us as we go through this week, that we will remember the things that we've heard this morning, the needs that we've heard for the recovery of Alicia, and for those who are mourning the death of this young individual, and for the people who are without jobs this week because where they work burned or because the government has shut them out. We pray, Father, that you'll be with each one of those individuals, that you will help them to learn to lean on you. We pray, Father, for the causes that we have no control over, that you'll help us to be able to deal with them with your help. We pray, Father, that as we listen to the words that Jack will share with us this morning, that there will be no interruptions, no distractions, that we will be able to perfectly tune in to what he is saying, the words that you have given him, and we'll be able to think about how we can apply them to our lives, how we can make a difference in the life of someone else, in the lives of the people in our community, and how we can be a shining beacon and an example of you and your love. We pray, Father, that as we give our tithes and offerings this morning, that you will help us to keep in the forefront of our mind that we're not just paying dues or an obligation, but we are returning back to you a small portion of what you have blessed us with. And truly, with all of the things that we have, both as individuals and as a congregation here, the amount that we give back is so insignificant. But we pray, Father, that as we put it all together, that you will help us to be good stewards of it as we disperse it here in this community, in this church. We ask all of these things in thy name. Amen.
Majesty. Good morning. I'm reading 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." The eighth verse. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to visit us." One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and laid down there, and he said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to her, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now, what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elisha asked. Gehazi said, she has no son and her husband is old. Then Elisha said, call her. So he called her and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. But the woman became pregnant. And the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her.
Linda, I've decided that I'm going to have Linda do an audio Bible sometime. I love the way she reads the Word of God. You know, you agree with that? I mean, she's so passionate. I want you to read the Bible to me. Just call me tomorrow and read it to me, okay? Okay, that's good. So, good to see you. Today, I've got like a little throat thing going on, so I'm glad most of the songs I didn't have to sing much with it. It's part cold, part yelling at a football game. It was good yelling. Wasn't a good result, but it was good yelling. So, and I wasn't yelling at anybody in particular, just trying to get people to listen to me. Amazing how we get caught up in that. You know, I can't remember the last time I threw my voice out in church yelling. You know, like, woo, Jesus, you know, like that. Yeah, touchdown, Jesus. There we go. But we have been talking. If you're visiting with us today, welcome again. We're glad you're here. I said that before, but I am glad. The other thing that we want to talk about today, we've been talking about this series about getting our momentum back. And I don't think I'm ever going to preach about this again because there have been, over the last 3-4 weeks, every time I turn around, something to try to steal any momentum I've had. Anybody in that same boat with me? But maybe that's why God wanted me to go ahead and share this, because that momentum, it's easier to have something taught to you while the momentum's trying to be stolen from you, and energy and all that kind of stuff, except for when it goes, and except for when you have time to go ahead and say, oh, everything's wonderful, I can wait for that, and then you have to go back and look at it. So you can check our web if you missed any of those. We'd love for you to connect to that. But for a lot of people, I know this week, if it makes you feel good, I was a full pastor this week. The only thing I did not do was a baptism and a communion. We'll do communion next week, I think. So I'll fit that one in. Anybody wants a Dunkin' real quick, we can take care of that. I'll find a mud puddle outside. After the rain tomorrow, we'll probably have some water around. Burials, counseling, you know, funerals, just weddings, all kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff, which I love, but it's like all at once. You know what I mean? And sometimes you're like, okay, time out, God. Here we go. And then you throw in the things like football games, and then you lose your voice. So here we are. This series, I gave the name Blown Away, because what I want us to do is I want us to have such a momentum for God that we get blown away by just the idea of God. I would love to go ahead and have an atmosphere and have people have an atmosphere that when we think we're going anywhere near the church, or when there's any opportunity to connect to God, or where there's anybody that we, you know, we see or any symbol of God, that we just get blown away by the presence of God. We sang a song just then. They sang a song, Indescribable. That's an awesome song. And when you look at the words, just all the stuff that God has done to put together. It's also a mixed reaction for me because when my wife and I were down at another church and we had my whole family sleeping in my office due to not having housing arrangements, we slept on air mattresses in my office at a pastor of a church of over 1,000 people, and I slept with my family and my 6-month-old at the time and the other kids on air mattresses. Needless to say, it was not the most romantic sleeping arrangements my wife and I have had in our lives. And I found out, you know, those felt top ones, that air mattresses, if you try to roll over on that in the middle of the night, your shirt won't move. So all night I was like, you know, here, but, and then got up and preached 3 services and was like, hey, awesome God. And so when I hear that song, Indescribable, if you want to have some fun, go to Melissa and say, I hear your favorite song is Indescribable, and she may punch you, just to let you know. But it brings back some memories. But when we look at the words, we look at these words that that God isn't indescribable. Try to put God in a box. We always try to do that, but we don't. And today we're going to talk about being blown away. We've been spending weeks on the life of Elisha. Not Elijah, but the life of Elisha. And today we are going to continue with a series, and we are going to talk about another account of Elisha. So you're not only going to get blown away, but you're going to get jarred today. I'm going to jar you. You ready to be jarred? Look at a person and say, fasten your seatbelt. Get jarred. There we go. Okay, good. All right. Today's sermon is for two people, basically, and it should probably cover everyone. Speaking to those two areas of people, those who lack something in their life, that don't have enough supply. Now, that could be financial, that could be monetary. It could be you don't have enough love, you don't have enough care, you don't have enough stuff in your life, something. You're with me. So that probably gets half of us here. The other thing is for those who need, who have a need that money and resources, they got plenty of those resources and plenty of that stuff, but there's something still there that is lacking in you. So that's what we're talking about, the term lacking. And so we're going to look at this. Even though Linda read much more awesome than I did or ever could, I just kind of want to go through this again just to bring us together where we're focused together. And I'll stop in some of these areas. And so we're going to begin, if you have your Bibles, 2 Kings, just to let you know, it comes after 1 Kings. That's how that works. 2 Kings chapter 4, and there's two separate women surrounding Elisha in both of those circumstances. One who is lacking in financial and other resources, one who has tremendous resources but is lacking in something else. And so let's look at this. Chapter 4, verse 1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me what you have in your house." "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask your neighbors for empty jars. Don't just ask for a few. Then go outside and shut the doors behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left them and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another." But he replied, "There is not a jar left," and the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go and sell the oil to pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what's left." Now in verse 8, just very briefly here, one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, she stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know this man often comes our way, and he is a holy man of God. Let us make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." One day Elisha came and went up to his room and lay there. And we will continue with the rest of this in a second. I don't want to get too caught up. It's always good to have more scripture, but we're going to get caught up. So what I'm going to do today is I am going to share with you probably 6 things. I think that's what I got there. There may be a 7th one as I was reading. Something else popped in my head, so I may share that with you too. But there are going to be 6 things that if you are in a place of lack today, all right? You good? Okay. The first one is going to seem kind of ridiculous and seem very obvious. And the first one on your sheet today is when you are lacking in an area, you need to go to God. That's the first one. Go to God with your lacking. That's the first on your sheet right there. Elisha was the head of the prophets. Now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about him just chilling out with a plow, right, and the oxen last week, talking about the butt end of an oxen, and he went from butt end of the oxen on number 12, the last person in the oxen group, and he spent 10 years following Elijah around, and then he ended up being the prophet of the prophets. So he went from there to there. Now, here he is. He's the bigwig. He is the prophet of the prophets. He's the one that speaks for God, connects to God for people, and he's making that connection. Now, this woman had a situation. This woman had a husband who was part of the prophets. She was a good preacher. Her husband was a good preacher. He wasn't the bishop, but he was a good preacher. And he served God. He probably had a small country church out in the woods that had about 50 people, all who related. You guys know what I mean about those country churches where everybody's related? You know, anybody been there? Who's been there before? Okay, I'm just making sure you have a pulse. Because guess what? Some of those country churches do not talk about anybody, because you'll be talking about everybody. And I've seen people say, you know that person? I say, oh, yeah, they're related to so-and-so. Oh, really? I've been in the right there. So people freak out. But you have these family churches. I think that's probably where he was. And her husband died, and his insurance policy didn't come through. It didn't cover it. His 401k wasn't as good as he thought it was. And it was gone. And there was no existence. And now his creditors, so what does that tell us about him? He was in debt. He was borrowing something to go buy. And here he goes. It says that his creditors were going to come and take his kids. Now, I didn't know that was a plan. I have five. I figured I'd loan some out for a little bit here, you know, pay off some bills. But that's how they did. They said, okay, you're going to use your kids as collateral to borrow. And if you don't pay it off, I'm going to take them and they're going to be slaves. Now, here she is. He died, obviously didn't leave her well, and she comes to Elijah. She's smart in this case. She comes to God with this. And look at what she says. It says, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now the creditor is coming to take my two boys as a slave. That's a problem. She came to God even though she could have gone into a whole dissertation about, God, my husband served you. We have always served you as a family. We have always been good Christians. We have always lacked in what we could have done. My husband could have been a tanner. He could have been a blacksmith. He could have gone ahead and even been a carpenter and made a little bit more money and put away. But you know what he did? He decided to be the preacher of that small church in the corner out there so that we would glorify you. Or he could say, you know, God, if I had made different choices in my life, then I could have gotten this. Anybody ever said that before? Okay. And here he is. She's sharing this. She could have said that, but she has every reason at this moment to be frustrated and not pay attention to God. I served you, and now look at me. I'm destitute. My husband's gone, and now they're taking my kids. But she was smart in the fact that she still trusted God with her problem. And even though it seems like, you can hear her saying, even though I have this problem, and even though it seems like God is not here for me, anybody said that before? I am going to trust him because I've tried the world's way and it's not working for me. That's what I want you to look at this. I want you to ask yourself the question, are you like this woman that no matter what your situations are, are you willing to trust God and try it his way? Are you? Are you ready to try it God's way? Some people are not sure. Are you ready to try it God's way? You know, every campaign, every advertising campaign is filled with, you deserve it, so get it by any means. We have the McDonald's. You remember the old McDonald's commercial written by Barry Manilow? What is it? Way to go. He is like the music genius. I mean, you deserve a break today, so get up and get away. Where do you get your break? McDonald's, right? We all have these kind of ads that are ministering to our need and our desires and what we need, and we live in a world and a society that we will do anything to get what we believe we need, right? Gary, where are you? Amen, right? I'm gonna have to hook Gary up. The rest of the crowd. I need some amens here today. It's been a crazy week, right? Amen. There we go. All right, keep it up. We watch on TV. Anybody ever watch TV late at night? There are so many get-rich-quick schemes. You know, I miss Billy Mays screaming at me about OxyClean. I almost said OxyChrist, the video I did. Don't you miss Billy Mays? I mean, man, I miss that guy just screaming at me. We got the British guy now, but I want that guy to just scream at me, you know, because whatever he was selling, I was buying. You scream at me loud enough, okay, I'll buy it. Here we go. I need that. And we live in this point that we think if we scream, if we yell, if we show this, that this is going to be the way I'm going to fix it. I can fix it this way. I can take care of it. And you know, we have people. I shared with you last week about my first credit card. I shared with you about getting my 19.8%. That was free money until I had to pay it off. And it's amazing how much that zero, that first meal at the Boston Beanery for about 10 people got to be several thousand dollars very quickly. And I did have to pay that back. And I didn't have any kids for them to take at the time for slaves. So, but, you know, and you may say at this moment, okay, Jack, I got it. You say, go to God. But let me ask you the question, do you? Do we go to God with our problems first? Joyce Meyer, who's one of the great Bible teachers, has this great saying. She says, when you have an issue, when you have a problem, don't go to the phone, go to the throne. And so, I'm not the toilet, but go, you may feel like going to the toilet if it's a big enough problem. But what I'm saying is, you go to the throne room of God because God knows your problem and he knows how to fix it. But often, we will pick up the phone and dial everybody on our list in order to say, hey, I got a problem, and we want somebody to tell us what to do. When all along, God may have been sharing that with us from a scripture and from just putting people in our way and telling us, hey, this is what you should do. Or maybe God is saying, this is what you should not do. Sometimes godly advice comes from the people you don't want to hear it from. Sometimes godly advice comes from your children. Am I right? How many of you ever came to church because your kids started asking about God? No one? Oh, there we go. There's a couple. How many of you, your kids, you had an issue with your kids, that your kids were sick or something, and you couldn't figure it out, and doctors couldn't figure it out, and you had no hope, and where did you turn? To God. You turned to God last instead of first. You know? I can still remember Rachel. I was talking about this the other week, about Rachel and those migraines. And I remember feeling so helpless in that moment. And we were turning to God. Yes, we were doing the right things by going to the medical staff. My wife's a nurse, so she's trying to, which is even worse because she's trying to figure out what it is. And everything was leading us to believe that she had a stroke. And that's a fit here. And when you have doctors who are learned and know things, who are awesome, and at top hospitals saying, we don't have a clue what it is, and you leave her to go get clothes at 8 or 9 o'clock, and you leave to go get clothes, and you come back not and you don't think you're going to have your daughter ever again, that's hopeless. And there's no quick fix scheme that can bring my daughter back to me. It was only God doing what he did. And many of you remember when that week I had her on a stool and I asked her what happened, and she said that she believed God healed her. You think I learned something about that from my daughter? You're darn right I did. So this woman is in a situation, and I guarantee you there's somebody here who is saying, Jack, you don't know my situation, and you're right. I know a lot of them, but I don't know all of them. But I got to tell you, I doubt that any creditors are coming to take your kids. It's a pretty bad situation, and I joke. But anybody comes and messes with my babies, what are you going to do if somebody tries to mess with your babies? Right? You're going to do anything you can to take care of them. She is in a bad situation. And I started to think about some of these. You know, we sing some awesome songs. We start off today with an old hymn, Blessed Assurance, which has that, just that kind of like good statement. A lot of times what we do in contemporary worship, if that's what it's called now, who knows what it's called. There's emerging worship. There's vertical worship. I don't know whether there's horizontal worship. You know, I don't know. I mean, there's maybe slanted Leaning Tower of Pisa worship. Who knows? But one of the things that we end up finding out is the words in some of the old hymns are incredible. Just because they were played with an organ doesn't mean we have to chuck them out. And there are some powerful words. And, you know, like I think of the words, and we've done it before, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry, how much? Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often what? Forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. How many of us live that life day in and day out where we forfeit the peace that God has for us, and we carry around this needless of pain, all because we do not want to carry everything to God in prayer? That we don't want to give stuff to God, that God says, cast your cares on me. Okay? So we got this one. Go to God. Everybody ready to go to God? There we go. That's number one. Number two, face or confront your situation. Face and confront your situation. Face and confront your situation. Here is a challenge for some of us. Distractions get in the way. Distractions get us off track. A lot of times, Satan keeps us busy and keeps us away so we don't have to deal with the issue that's facing us. At times, and I got to share you, at times, I am somebody, when I am dealing with something, I will do one of two things. Number one, I will avoid absolutely everybody. Anybody with me? No avoiders? Oh, there we go. I got some avoiders. The next thing I will do is I will keep myself so busy that I don't have time to think about it. How many are the so busy people? Okay, we pack our schedule so deep, we will make up stuff to do. So you'll call home, you'll say, what are you doing? I'm going around checking the consistency of the dog dew in the yard. And you're like, what? Yes, because I got to check. You know, I saw a crayon in it, you know, and you're like, okay, who cares? So, but we'll make up stuff to do in order that we don't have to deal with, that we don't have to confront with what we're dealing with. And I am really, really good on both of those. Anybody with me? Okay. Now, those of you who have any kind of psychology background, you're psychoanalyzing me and know I'm as demented as you, so it's all good. But we do that because it's a coping mechanism that we have and because I just don't want to face certain things. One of the most powerful moments in life, and I've shared this before, was when I was doing a chaplaincy program and I went into a fetal demise when my wife with Jacob was having a high-risk pregnancy. And I went into a fetal demise with somebody else in week 33. Week 33. Okay? If the baby had been born, it probably would have been fine, but I think umbilical cord or something and died. You know, so it was really challenging for them. So, and it doesn't make sense at all to that family. And it was just, and yet I was dealing with the same thing myself, kind of very high risk. They were saying Jacob wasn't going to be here, all this kind of stuff. So I'm dealing with all this emotions, first dad, all that kind of crazy stuff. Anybody been a dad for the first time? We kind of go crazy, but we got to do it quietly because we got to be men, okay? And when we're going through that process, here I was. I went in there. Somebody offered to go in there, another chaplain. I said, no, I sucked it up. I did it. I went in, and what I wrote in this verbatim is I couldn't wait to get out there, and the whole thing was they yelled at me about it, and I yelled at them, and I got mad, and I started to shut down, and he said, why did you do it? I said, because that's the way I am, and he said, why are you that way? And I said, none of your business, because when I got to look at why I'm the way I am, it's not fun. What if that's a question for you today? Why are you the way you are? Anybody want to answer that question? Okay. Some of you don't want to know, am I right? So, and usually it's not pointing to somebody else. Usually it's something that we deal with in here. But some don't know or desire to hit what is in front of us head on. One of the biggest problems as a football coach that I see, because I'm defensive-minded, I love defense, and one of the things in defense is that I have in telling linebackers and other football players is take the block on and hit full force. You have people who will run, and what you also have to do when you're making that tackle is you have to wrap. You have to hit and wrap. And a lot of times what we go through is a lot of us will backpedal in the football field, and a lot of us do that in life, too. We see something, and we start to go up, and we're like, no. Or we will come up, and we'll hit it, and we won't wrap, and we'll fall off, and we'll say, I tried to deal with it. And guess what? We end up trampled, and it makes a great highlight reel for the offense. And there, Satan is putting a good offense on just hitting us with stuff right and left. Anybody been hit with something lately? He's just hitting us right and left. And so as we look at this, some will go ahead and do this and avoid the whole problem by saying, I'm just trusting God. Anybody ever done that? Now, sometimes we do, but we don't. Sometimes we just, it's an ability to allow us to blame our inactivity on God. That we can say, well, this is God's will, and I'm going to trust it. But meanwhile, God has given us avenues that can make a situation much better, but we don't take it, and we sit there and say, I'm just trusting God. Now, I am about the most religious, faithful Christian coach on the field when we're there. Right, Will? Sure. Okay, well, you're going to run laps tomorrow for not saying that better. So anyway, but what I'm saying is, when there is a fullback coming at you and you're a linebacker, I'm going to say, or your defensive lineman, go up and take the hit. Get extension. Take it on. Wrap and tackle. I'm not going to say stand in the middle and trust God to make the tackle. But so many of us in our lives sit there and wait for God to do something. Meanwhile, while the world is rolling us over and sitting there, we're not doing a darn thing about it. And that leaves, you talk about sucking your momentum away real quick. When Satan runs a 30-yard against your life, tell me that's demoralizing. Of course it is. And so we really got to quit blaming God. Look what she continues in verse 1. She goes to him and says, this is what's happening. They're going to take my two boys. She tells him the problem. And I got to tell you, Elisha is the worst counselor ever. And one of the things you find out here is you find out something that is very interesting in premarital counseling. And if anybody's ever watched Men Are From Mars or read the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, you find out something. And here we go, ladies. You ready? It's simply this. That in premarital counseling, I find out that women often, primarily women, I mean, it's just different in some cases. Don't call me a sexist or anything. But primarily, according to this book, you find out something. You find out when women reveal their problems, they don't want you to solve them. Do I have a high-pitched amen? There we go. Okay. Yeah. And a lot of times, they just want to tell you. Am I right, ladies? But we as guys pull out the tool belt. Well, what you need to do is slam. You know, we hit it. And we got, took care of that one. And usually we just end up shattering what she wanted to tell us. Next thing is, well, I just fix it right now. You need to tighten this area. You need to loosen this area. And guess what? That's not what I want to hear. Do I have a high pitch amen? There we go. Guys, you get the picture? Yeah. And we want to do that in our lives. We want to fix it. One of the reasons why guys want to fix it is because we feel like we need to protect and help and guide. And that's not a bad thing. But sometimes we just need to shut up and listen. Oh, that got a real good amen, didn't it? Sorry, guys. We'll get them next week, okay? So that's the first thing that we do. We try to fix these things. And, you know, Elisha is horrible here. Look at what he says. She's come to him with this problem. They're going to take my kids because I owe them. And Elisha says, how can I help you? Tell me what you have in the house. He didn't even pray. He didn't say, let's pray about your situation. He says, he's really abrupt and rude, and he says, okay, yeah, I hear about your kids. What you got? It's like, what you going to pay me? You got what do you got there? You got anything else in the house? And she's just kind of said, excuse me, I just told you, I got nothing. It seems so brutal, but I think in some ways, what he was trying to do is to get her to focus on her true problem and what was there. And I think what he learned is a principle of God, of the kingdom of God, that we all need to embrace. Before God can give you a miracle, you need to follow his instructions. And so many times we want a miracle from God, but we don't want to follow what he wants us to do. He doesn't. If we don't look at the situation, we're never going to figure it out. To do that, in order to follow God's instructions, we have to face our situation head on. We make decisions, sadly, too much hiding from them. And there's no power of God in that situation because I don't face it. We need to face your situation and acknowledge the mess ups. Some of you, I will say, are in a problematic situation because you messed up, because you made bad choices. And you continue to be in bad situations because you continue to make bad choices. Don't just stop and say, well, going to hell in a hazmat suit. No, turn around and face them. Take ownership of them, which is a foreign concept in our world today. Take ownership of that, face it, and let God do the miracle when you follow what he requires and asks from us in that way. Everybody good? The scripture tells us, let us be humble in the sight of the Lord, and he will raise you up. Not be humble and you can raise up, but be humble in the sight of the Lord and he will raise you up. Lack makes things worse than they often are, and they give us no hope. But when we turn to Christ, then we get a clear picture. Number 3, get jarred by checking your perspective. check your perspective. There is a, I think it's a psychological term, called ANTS. Anybody ever heard of ANTS? Automatic Negative Thinking Syndrome. How many got ants? You just thought they were ants in your pants, not in your brain. Think about it. Automatic Negative Thinking Syndrome. If you can't find somebody, they've been captured and they're held up for ransom. Or if someone doesn't call you back, they don't love you anymore, never did. They were just using you for something. Anybody have any of these syndromes? Anybody think the worst? Okay, we see that. There's some people that think the absolute worst. And you live life like that. You live life continually. So your perspective is messed up. Look at this lady. She has come to him with a major issue. Now that she's with him with a major issue, Elisha responds, "What you got? I just told you. I don't have anything. I told you my husband who served faithfully died. I told you that now the creditors who he owed, I told him not to take out those loans. They're coming to get our kids as slaves. I have nothing. I don't have one thing. Why in the world are you asking me?" Well, except I have a little bit of oil. You see, she lost perspective on everything. She had focused so much on what she was lacking that she didn't see what she had. And this is one of Satan's greatest tools, and it's this. Satan's strategy is to get you to focus on three areas. What, number one, what you don't have. What you don't have. Number two, what you once had. Now, anybody who is a father and a husband or that may have had a cool car before you got married, is there anybody who what were some cars that you had? A Corvette? What else? GTO. What else? Camaro. And you traded them suckers in for minivans. Woohoo! Rock it out, minivan. Am I right? And you can try to be as cool as you want riding down the road in a minivan, but it ain't cool. You know, you can have a nice system and blare it up, but you'd be like, you can have the poof, poof, and people are like, "Look at that old dude in the minivan," right? You know, it does not matter. That's how it works. You see, because we once had something. That's the other thing. What you used to have. And so many times we look back and say, and you know what we also do? We make what it used to have seem better than it was when we had it. Chances are many of those cars you had were broke down more than anything else. And you paid a lot more on gas, I can guarantee you that. And so what you don't have, what you once had, and this is the third one, this is called coveting, what someone else has that you wish you had. If you don't think those things distract you, just analyze it in your own life. You see, God's way is not for you to focus on what you don't have or what you once had or what someone else has that you want. God's way is for you to go to him and say, "Lord, what can I do with what I have left?" You see, this is what the widow said. She got so caught up in what was being taken from her, her husband, her finances, now her children, and she had forgotten. She said, "I don't have anything." And she says, "Wait a second, I do have this little jar." And most of us, you know, her first statement is, "Duh, I don't have anything. If I had anything at all, I would have been here." Well, except for that little jar. One of the things that we forget to realize is that there was an old Southern gospel song that said, "Little is much when God is in it." Little is much when God is in it. And so you may have little in an area. You may think you have none, but you may have just a little bit. And that little bit is all God needs. All God needs in your life. God, in case you don't know, your daddy in heaven is rich. He's wealthy. He's powerful. He's strong. That's why he can raise the dead and make the sick well, make the blind see. That's why he can bring financial blessings upon your life. You see, so what does Elisha tell her to do? She says, "I've got this little bit of oil. And Elisha tells her this. He says, "Go around and ask your neighbors for empty jars. Don't just ask for a few." Does that seem weird to you? I'd be hoping he'd say, "Go ask your neighbors for oil." Or go ask your neighbors for money. But he says, "Go ask your neighbors for jars." Now, I got some jars here today. Here's a jar. They're all empty. If I break them, my wife will kill me. All right. So we got some jars there, and they're empty. You guys would really be weirded out if I started filling them up right now, wouldn't you? But look, we got jars. They're all empty. And, you know, the thing about jars is, yeah, that's nice to see them there. It's nice to have them. But guess what? They don't mean anything when they're empty, do they? I mean, they're just empty. And so here we go. We have these empty jars that are here. He says, go ahead and get these empty jars. And he tells her that God is going to pour out a blessing. She goes and does it. Why? She's desperate. Now she's faced it. Now she says it a little bit. And he tells her to go in and close the door and take that little bit of oil that she has and fill one of the jars and then set it to the side. And then to fill another one and to set it to the side. And as you look here, what I realize is God fills all these jars. There's a couple things I realize. God is not going to pour out his blessing unless you have the emptiness for him to fill and the right or readiness to receive it. You've got to have, like, for instance, if I had, what I should have done is, you know, brought some kind of liquid, and if I said, are you thirsty? And I went over here and I started saying, open up. It's going to be all over the place. Am I right? And I can go ahead and put that all over the place. But if you have a cup, guess where it is? And, you know, I can keep filling up that cup. I can keep doing that. The thing is, a lot of times, we've got our life filled up with so much other stuff that there's no room for God to fill into an empty jar any of his blessings for us. And so what she does, I think, is amazing. The question is what do you not have? What he says, go and get some jars from some people. People are like, sure, take jars. Go ahead, take them. You can use them. She didn't ask for oil, so she wasn't in debt to anybody. He's asking, what do you have that I can use? Last year, around this time, or a little bit later, we did one of our stewardship campaigns, and we did it on Moses. And the question that God asked Moses when he's at the burning bush is, what is in your hand? You guys remember that? What is in your hand at the burning bush? Because what you have is what God wants to do. That staff was what spread the Red Sea. That staff was what became a snake. That staff was part of the reason that a lot of God used for the miracles. It wasn't a magic staff. It was God used what Moses had. So what do you have? What has God called you to do? Your perspective may be different. You know, one of the things I find out is I've said in my life, if I just win the lottery, or if I just go ahead and had this, if I had that degree, or if I did this, then I would. If I made this choice, or if I could just get what they have, if I could just do what that person does, if I was 6'7" and larger hands, I could be an NFL football player, right? You know, I go through these kind of things in my mind. And it's not about the ifs, because guess what? There have been a lot of people who've been handed that have been handed cards that are a lot less than I've been dealt, that have made it a lot stronger and better in my life. It's not about the cards you dealt, it's what you do with the hand. And that's what God wants to do. What is in your hand? What can you do? A couple weeks ago, at the beginning of this, I asked you to dig some ditches. Today, I'm asking you to get some jars. Both of those are areas of provision for God. Number four. Everybody still good? Number four. Expand your hope and trust in God. Expand your hope and trust in God. In order to go from our place of lacking to our place of momentum, we need to make sense to borrow oil. Not jars, but to borrow oil. And you know what? That does not make sense. But the gospel doesn't often make sense. There are areas, I believe some of us have empty jars that God's waiting to fill. But maybe we've got a cap on them. Maybe we haven't gotten enough of our empty jars in our lives. Get ready for the next thing that God wants you to do. We have been blessed as a church so far. In five years, we've been blessed as a church. Most new churches die within the first 3 to 4 years. We are not dead. Look around. Look at the person next to you. Say, you're not dead. And I'm sort of glad. Okay? We are not dead, but if you think that we are done, you're in the wrong church. Because It's not about numbers, but it's about this community. I spent this week talking with a fellow pastor about the drug problem right in our own community and about how enough is enough. Amen. And if you don't think that, that may not be your thing. But guess what? You can get active in the prayer group and pray for everybody who wants to get involved on it. We need to take it back. They don't have a problem walking around the streets, pumping this crap into our kids. So why should we have a problem with going and pumping the word of Christ into our kids? You know? We got to change it. We got to change. And guess what? There's a lot of empty jars out there. He was telling me that he was talking to 20-some kids the other day, all who professed a relationship with Christ but struggled with addiction issues. And guess who the God in their life is that has a hold on them is? Heroin. Enough. And meanwhile, we do our church stuff, but we're forgetting about that. We see the Parish Foundation. Thank God for that man who saw we need to change what's here. And through us in the community, not every one of us is made to start a Parish Foundation, but we can all pray and we can get involved and we can help. And I believe that the ministry of this church is part of that, but more importantly, we're going to have people connect to Jesus Christ. We stand for know, grow, serve, and share. That's what we exist for. And you know what? And God, every time we have a know, okay, I know a little bit more about God, that's part of that jar being filled. You know what? I'm going to grow in Christ. That's part of this jar being filled. Let me serve. That's part of this jar being filled. Share. And guess what? When our jars get full, we flow them into somebody else. And that's how the gospel runs, and that's how we got to keep it on. Making sense here today? Because I don't know what I am. All right. We need to, in other words, get ready for the next big thing that God wants to do in our church and in our ministry. Because the bottom line is Jesus Christ is the only answer for every problem we've got in this world. You know, I love football. I know that's a shock to many of you. And I love sports. And one of my favorite places to go in the world is Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. I love it. Whether they stink or not, there's something about being there. I feel like I've gone in like, that's my idea of what heaven will look like. Kelly Green. And Meryl Reese. Okay, oh, that's kind of good stuff. And I've been there several times. I've been there for an NFC Championship game. One of the craziest, awesome experiences of my life. And I'm there. And when I stopped this week and I was looking around, I was thinking about all the stadiums. And some of these stadiums cost several billion dollars. Billion. That's a B. Everybody say billion. You can't even say billion. You got to say billion because that's a lot. And you know, people say, how in the world can you pay $1 billion? But guess what? They do it all the time. So why in the world can the world build billions of dollars of things to reach many people for 1 hour, 2 hours on Sunday, and yet we, as the people of Christ, can't build facilities to change our communities and to connect people to Christ in a way that is so powerful? Aren't you tired of the world having more faith in the church? In many ways, I am. I'm totally tired of that. Think about it. TV. You know, I remember when we had 3, 6, and 10, or you'd have 45 and 48. You'd have maybe 5 channels. What? 17, and we'd turn it in, and you'd have antennas, and you'd stand this way and get it in. And now we have a billion different channels. We have ESPN Sports All Day, 24/7. Remember when they started out, they showed Australian rules football? Who knew? We have MTV, which stands for music television. Now you don't see any music. It's all like, they're the ones who really birthed reality TV. So we're all glued to it. Lifetime, or as I call it, Let's Hate Men Network. I'm not lying. But Lifetime is on. They got so many of those movies that they had to make Lifetime Movie Network. Hey, you get your estrogen fill. It's awesome. I mean, you know. And then we've got Oprah. The Oprah OWN Network. Oprah, who was in Channel 13 in Baltimore, you remember, with Richard Scherer on People Are Talking, now covers the earth. Oprah. Now, she has some good stuff on there. I'll admit, I don't watch Lifetime, but I watch Oprah occasionally, you know, and she's got some good interviews and shows. But as my scripture tells me in Habakkuk 2:14, the glory of the Lord covers the earth. Shouldn't be Oprah. Shouldn't be Lifetime. Lord knows it shouldn't be Lifetime. ESPN is the worldwide leader in sports. Where is the worldwide leader in the world? His name is Jesus, and we need to make that perpetuated as the body of Christ in the church. That's what needs to be there. I could do a whole sermon on that, but let's go. Number five, your empty jars in action bring God's provision. Your empty jars in God's provision in action bring God's provision. You never see a miracle unless you start with the empty jar. You need to start with a plan. Every good thing started with a plan. God, here's where I'm giving to you. Here's where I'm starting here. Every good avenue starts with a plan. If I say to God, God, here's what I have. She said, here's my oil. There's no jars that are full if she didn't take what she had and said, here's my plan. Isn't that what Elisha said? Go shut the door. Sometimes you just have to shut the door behind you to the world. Sometimes you have to shut out those people who you love the most who are telling you it can't happen. Sometimes you just need to put your ears and your fingers in your ears and go, blah, 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 not listen to you. And get your empty jar and start filling. That's your plan. Sometimes you need to start there. Because guess what? Whatever you're facing, it's too big for you, but it's not for God. Number six. I got to number six really quickly. Aren't you excited? One of the other things I do want to say about this real quick is in verse 6, it says, when the jars were all full, she said to her son, bring me another. And he said, there's not a jar left. And then what happened? It all stopped. When we quit putting the empty jars out for God to fill, the anointing, because the oil is a sign of anointing. Whenever we feel we've arrived and we've gotten all the God that we can have, and we've gotten to that super place, super Christian, we got it all together, got all the answers, the anointing will stop upon your life. And let me tell you, you do not want the anointing of God to stop on your life. All right? Number six. I'm going to read this verse from verse 8 first, and then I'm going to tell you what it is. One day, Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. Whenever he came by, stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way as a holy man, let us make room for him, put a roof and a room on the roof and a bed for him and a table and chair and a lamp for him, made him an apartment, and then when he's in town, he can stay there. So he came by, and he said to his servant, call the Shunammite. And he called the Shunammite, so he called her, and she stood before him, and Elisha said, tell her, you've gone to all this trouble for us. What can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She said, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for you then? She said, and Gehazi, love that name, Gehazi, said she has no son and her husband is old. So he called her and he said, hey, you know what? This time next year you're going to have a son. She said, don't you be messing with me. You see, she has wealth. And she made a place for him. So that's the next thing you need. You need to make a room for God. In your life, you need to make room. Our lives are so full that we just don't take time to take what we have. Some of us are blessed, and we just don't make a room for God in the midst of that. And she says, don't you dare mess with me. And the scripture tells us a year later, almost to the date, she had a kid. We need to build she built a room for the prophet, for Elisha. And you may have stuff, but maybe missing something from your life. What can you do in your life because you love God, not because you need something? What is it you can do out of your abundance to help God? Maybe God is telling you you need to go ahead and maybe you need to relook at your life and your schedule and say, how much of my life is really going to serve God? How much of my life am I really connecting to God in the grand scheme of my whole week? Where's my prayer life in connecting to God? Try to go through a week. If you want to do something that may get you in trouble, go ahead and try to talk to your spouse as much as you talk to God and see how good that is this week. And I'll see you at counseling after next week's service, okay? Start there. Or maybe God's telling you, you know what? I've been blessed financially. And last week, Debbie stood up here and shared the needs of our church, that we did the right thing because we believe that's what God wants us to do. But we also know there's a windfall, and we also know that we are not done. This is the first process and a transitional process in our church. Maybe God says, you know what, I want you to give financially. Some people may not be able to do it. Maybe God says, you know what, Jack, you touched my heart today, and I'm tired of the mess in our community, and I'm willing to stand up and do what needs to be done. I've got gifts. I got skills. I don't have much, but what I do have, I'm putting it to God. Fill this jar, Lord. Okay? Whatever it is, I think it's cool, God put the widow and the Shunammite woman in the same chapter. You have one who lacked everything and was on her last leg, and you have the woman who was wealthy but was missing something else. And what the thing is, God sees them both. And as the scripture says in Philippians 4:19, it says this very clearly. And there it is. And my God will meet how many needs? All your needs according to what? His riches in Christ Jesus. The Shunammite woman was great because the way she lived for God. She put the Lord first. And you may say, well, that's easy for her. She had money. She was set. She was taken care of. Do you know that her son later dies? And when she goes to Elisha, he says, is everything okay? She says, yeah, it's okay, because he was busy. And she just waited. And he said, no, I can see you're distressed. And she said, I'm gonna hold on to you. He came back, and Elisha, God allowed him to bring him back from the grave. It wasn't easy for her. Can you imagine having that promise? She said, I told you don't promise me that I had this kid and had him taken from me. That's more painful. Her son goes and dies, and everything, she says, everything's all right. And she says, I will not leave you. And that's maybe what you need to say to God. In your situation right now, no matter what you're going through, you may say, God, you blessed me in these areas, but I'm lacking something, and I am not going to leave you. Each of these women never left God. Never left God. So as the praise team comes forward today, I just want to close with that statement and let you know, grab a jar. I'm going to take one of these jars. I'm going to take a couple of them. We're going to take them over to the altar, and we're just going to leave them there as a symbol of what we're doing today. So please stand as we begin to pray. Lord God, there are so many of us right now that we are dealing with one situation and then the next. Sometimes we don't like to face it. Sometimes we've tried to go to the phone and every kind of other means. We've gone to Facebook and Twitter. Oh, we love that one. That's the new phone, God. We throw it out there. And guess what? I got to tell you, I've never gotten an answer from Facebook or Twitter that made my life much better. Matter of fact, most of the time it makes it worse. But God, I don't need to go all the time to Facebook because they don't have the answers either. What I need to do is to go to the book, the Word of God. I need to go to you and face you. And when I seek your face and when I call out your name, the scripture tells me that then you will hear my prayer after I humble myself. And so God, here I am today with an empty jar in my life. Here we are as an empty vessel church just asking for you to fill us. God, there's a lot of stuff going on in our community that I've had enough of. I'm tired of seeing our young people be pulled away for Satan. I'm tired of you putting a step on their life and a hand on them and having Satan try to slap it away and get a hold of them with something else. I'm tired of people who are working their whole lives that are having everything just pulled away from them at the last second. But God, let us not focus on what is lacking. Today, let us just go, God, I have an empty jar and I have a little bit of oil. And with that, I want you to make a difference because I'm willing. I love you, Lord. Minister to us this time. And if someone's here today and you just aren't right with Jesus, that you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, that you've never said, you know what, I am a mess. I may not be horrible. I'm not like public enemy number one, but there's something missing from my life. And I'm not sure about this Jesus. I'm not sure about God. I don't know all this theology, and you're talking about Holy Spirit and what's that. But what I do know is that I need a Savior. I need somebody to guide my life. And the world's not waiting and working, so God, I need you. So Lord, as we go to this time, recognize that all of you is more than enough for me. In Christ's name, amen.
Is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
This is my daily bread. This is my
to your arms, running to your arms. This next song is speaks of your God's presence in this place today.
You are good when there's nothing good in me. You are love on display for all to see. You are light when the darkness closes in. You are hope, You have covered all my sins.
You are peace.
You are peace. You are peace. When my fear is crippling, you are true. You are true. Even in my wandering, you are joy. You are joy. You're the season that I sing. You are life. You are life. In you, death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world.
In your presence I'm at home. You are God, you are God. Of all else I'm letting go. And oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world, forever in. I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world forever.
You guys sing it out. My heart will sing.
My heart will sing. Jesus. Heart will sing. No other name. Jesus,
my heart will sing.
Heart will sing. The name Jesus, Jesus. Nothing compares. Your embrace, light of the world, forever. Running to your arms, to riches of your love, always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world, forever.
All right, have an awesome week in God. May you open up those jars and just let him fill it. And then next week we're going to kick into a different series. It'll be awesome, hopefully, because God will be here, right? Thank you for being here. For anybody who's going to do in the membership class, we're going to be in here. I'm going to go out for a little bit, come back in, and then we'll kick right on with that so we don't have people here for too terribly long. And we know there's a lot of stuff going on. Enjoy this last day of 80-degree weather. I'm praying that it'll continue again, but... if you got pull, let me know. So, guys, we love you, and know that most of all, you have a Savior who loves you. Amen? Amen.